Hour three, RBKD. We've got the All American Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn. We got Demetrius, who's here. We got Trevor, who is here. He's doing a great job. Here is Randall's in Westlake, 3300 B Caves Road. The not the original OG in Westlake, but OG number two.
OG number two.
And this was really the only Randall's for a long time. So it is the one on 3300 B Caves. Stop on by. We're registering people for Texas and Oklahoma State tickets. Already had a lot of people come by and say hi. We always appreciate that. We got some bobbleheads to give away, Rangers bobbleheads, and then also just your typical assortment of radio stuff, which, of course, would include koozies. We got these black koozies now. I like these, man.
Black koozies are nice.
I mean, I would take one home, but I have, I don't know, 90 koozies at home.
Everybody's got a couple of drawers full of koozies.
You know what else I have a lot of? And this kind of gets to my hoarding. I've got, like, too many chopsticks. Because I go to Chinatown a lot, and they always give me chopsticks, and I don't always use them. And, I was looking the other day, and I've got a bag of, like, 25 chopsticks. I don't need that many chopsticks. What am I doing?
You don't eat chopsticks with anything other than Chinese food, right? Do you eat chopsticks with other types of food?
Cereal. I'm weird. No, I don't. No, I don't.
That's going to change our relationship forever.
Yes, and understandably so. Kind of like your vanilla ice cream thing. I just have never looked at you the exact same way.
Understandable.
We're going to get that done, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like that guy who was trying to get his cat back. I'm going to come in the middle of the night and tie your hands behind your back.
Try to make me eat vanilla ice cream?
Open your mouth.
Never going to happen.
Shove it down there.
Like waterboarding.
Huh? Yeah, it would be vanilla ice cream boarding, which would be a lot better than waterboarding. Stop on by, though, and we'll be out here for another 2 hours, and we'll be registering people, also saying hi. And, man, the lines move quickly here. It's not that busy of a Randall's, which is great. It's really new and nice and
it's
fresh. And
efficient Randall's.
It's efficient.
Yeah. I like it.
We did have Tom Stoner. This is pretty funny. You can probably hear some of the calls over the mic. He said, "I appreciate y'all doing the show despite apparently being hooked up to a heart monitor and IV drip in the ER."
Well done.
Stoner's good, man. He's funny.
A lot of announcements at this.
There have been a lot of announcements. Rod and I were covering it when we were talking to John Price.
I have announcements. It's like an airport, basically.
It is like an airport. I don't think John Price gets that if he goes on CNBC. Maybe he does, though. All right, obviously lots of talk about the Texas game. I got to give you some love. You're definitely a must-follow on Twitter. And you froze a play for Texas. This was really well done on your part. And this kind of goes to your eagle eye and kind of everything you're seeing. So it's Texas is on offense. They're playing OU. And all 21 guys except for one, including the center who had snapped it, but no one's in motion. If you just look at the frame, you would say this could have been 3 seconds before
center
the ball snapped.
Actually hadn't snapped it.
He hadn't snapped
it? If you go look closely, you can see this.
So it's
the ball.
So it's actually a false start.
It's a false start.
Okay. So the ball is still there. But the one guy that Rod really wanted to highlight was Xavier Worthy.
I mean, he's moving already.
He's already moving. He's already getting
it's
into
like the, it's like those cartoons.
He's set up.
When the legs are moving, but the cartoon character's still in place. That's basically Xavier Worthy and how fast he was. Yeah, I mean, but I imagine it was, trust me, when I.
It was so tight that there's no way they would have called
it. It was bang, bang, man. It really was. I think he knew the snap count, obviously. And I just think he knew when the second – and they were doing the clap count, not the snap count, the clap count. And I think he just knew when Casey Thompson clapped his hands for that second time, he knew he was gone. But the center doesn't even react this fast. So the ball actually technically is still there. It probably technically should have been a false start. But don't worry, Longhorn fans. They got their share of calls.
They did. They
did. They got a ton of them. So you deserve it. On his 39-yard reception, the one right before the half, you go look at it. And, yeah, he's moving – right before the ball's even snapped.
Hey, hook 'em horns.
But I think he's just, he is that quick too. I think he's just kind of that quick, man. He's really, really quick. So, I didn't want to share it till later, till we had already processed the loss. If I'd have shared that 2 days ago, I'd have got roasted by Longhorn fans.
What are you doing here, man? What are you doing?
Now they're like, it's all right. We got away with one. Yeah.
You're a must follow. Joe Cook's a must follow.
No, you are.
And so is Ian Boyd.
Ian Boyd is.
I know Ian's been a lightning rod for Texas fans this year.
Well, if you're a good football theorist,
I'm friends with Ian. I really like Ian. Yeah. I don't think Ian has any dog in this fight. he's going to give his opinion and he's going to give some stuff.
If you're a good football theorist, you're going to wrinkle wrinkle some feathers. You're going to upset some people. That's just I think that's part of football theory because a lot of the time you are.
Trust me, I spent my first 10 years as being a football fan doing that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, but mobile quarterbacks.
Let's go 11-on-11.
And everybody's like, what do you mean mobile?
I mean, you should have heard the NFL people when I was a kid. I really got the, hey, you're a kid, you don't know what you're talking about.
And you're like, no.
I'm like, no, I can do basic math.
This is exactly if I'm a defensive coordinator, I would hate to go up against the quarterback that can run and also throw.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, oh no, ma'am, you can take
you
whatever
take
you
them,
want
man.
There.
You can
please
take
as many,
take as many
you
as you want.
So yeah, I think that's why I think anymore. But I'm
actually,
big,
we are. That'll be. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding around.
That'll be 99 cents. No, thank
you're welcome.
You. No, but I agree. I think, and I love anymore. I love his work. I follow him too. And his breakdowns, though, of some of the concepts, I think, are really, really good. Regardless of what you think of his opinion, your opinion as a football theorist is different when you're giving breakdowns.
No
doubt. I give breakdowns and I give opinions. Sometimes I'll tweet out a stat and people go, Rod B, man, you're so negative. I'm like, it's a stat.
It's a stat.
It's like, you see what you want. It's a Rorschach test for you. You see what you want to see. I just tweet out a stat.
I didn't even give an opinion.
I didn't give an opinion. I tweet out a stat.
If I come in and say, if you come in and say, hey, Dallas is going to lose this weekend.
That's an opinion. I tweet out a stat. It's
fire
stat.
Away.
People get mad at me. I'm like, what's a stat? I'm sorry that the stat is so ugly, but it's a stat. So that's what I think about Ian Boy. He just, he just gives the truth, and I'm a big fan. I think he does good work.
It's at Ian_A_Boyd. We've had him on the show. We'll get him on. Maybe the bye week would be a good time.
He's been tweeting out some videos
on.
Of Oklahoma State's running game, though. It's been really
he
interesting
has.
Stuff.
He has.
And
some of their blocking teams. I couldn't sleep last night, and I had to be up early this morning. And so I'm on fumes right now. But enjoying it is one of the great things about this show. But so I just couldn't sleep, right? And so I was like, all right, let me get up and do some work and finished off all my Oklahoma State games that I had picked and then got online a little bit.
What'd you see?
What'd you see? It's very Mike Gundy in how they don't split the atom and it's not a huge wrinkle, but there are little wrinkles they'll have with the run game and specifically how they block. And some of the things that they'll leave open and some of the things they'll attack, they do attack the edge.
Yes, they do. They like the outside zone.
I think about that Texas defense and kind of what you talked about on Monday. And so we can get into that a little bit. But one of the things also he was showing is, Oklahoma State wants to run the football, and they do a great job of stopping the run. We've given you some of those numbers.
Yep.
But here's Oklahoma State stuffing the run from Tampa 2. They do it from quarters. They, in Tampa 2 and quarters, obviously, isn't splitting the atom. But how you play that with technique, especially stopping the run, man, their run fits are great. They run downhill, and they really flow together well as a defense. This is going to be a tough team to run on. I know Texas has been a good running team, but we're talking about the Texas offensive line. Just like I said last week, the advantage is with the Oklahoma defensive line, and that ended up being the case, certainly in the second half. The advantage right now here on Thursday is the Oklahoma State defensive line in that matchup.
Yeah, their defensive front is really good. I mean, Pro Football Focus actually had it as the third best defensive front seven ranked in the Power Five. And I believe the ones they had ahead of them was Georgia. They had ahead of them, and maybe it was Iowa, actually.
I think it is Iowa,
That was ranked ahead of them. But either way.
Iowa's defense is good.
Iowa's defense is good. The thing about Oklahoma State, I will admit, this will be the biggest test for them.
Oklahoma State is the Iowa of the Big 12, but weaker.
You said that earlier, and I totally agree.
That's what they are.
Yes, I totally agree with that. They don't force turnovers like Iowa. That's the key. That's
Bingo. That is the difference.
Yeah, Iowa is extremely –
they don't have 14 picks.
Yes, Iowa is extremely opportunistic. Actually, there's one of the DBs is from Texas. He's a good player, too.
The Iowa guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I
forgot
his name,
maybe
too.
Maybe it's a Hankins or something.
He's a really good player. And that's the guy I mentioned in the midseason All-American.
He's a good player.
Some people have him as first-team All-American.
He was from the great state, so shout out there. But, yeah, I agree with you. The only difference is they don't create the turnovers, and that's big, as we know. That can be huge. And it's one thing about this Oklahoma State team, they're not very opportunistic. I think they're creating 1.2 turnovers per game. That is not a high number for them. But they're really fundamentally sound. You brought up the run fits there. Actually, and they're in the background. I'll just throw this out there. In Jim Knowles' background, he does have a three-safety look. Just throwing it out there. He's thrown it out there before. He does have it. He hasn't used
so
it really this
year.
He's
got some Haycock in him.
He's got it in his repertoire. I'll say that. But he's got so many talented DBs that they can keep that quarters high look, that two safety look, and then bring those guys down and run fits. And they run the alleys really, really well.
Unlike Texas
safeties.
And that was the biggest drastic thing as I'm watching. I thought
they fit.
That's what Texas needs to be.
They know exactly where they're supposed to be, and they show up. Now, here's the thing. I looked at Pro Football Focus tackling, like they do their tackling grades overall. They have Oklahoma State as the 104th best tackling team in the country.
That's surprising after watching film.
They do. I'll say this. In Texas has
104?
They have them as only team Texas has played that are going to be a worst tackling grade of Oklahoma State. I know it's not. I'm looking at it, too. I looked at it. I did a double take. They have TCU and Texas Tech.
Okay.
But they got Arkansas as a better tackling team. They got Texas as a better tackling team and Oklahoma.
But they got Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's not a good tackling team. That's one of their problems.
They have Oklahoma as the best tackling team Texas has played. And if that's the case, well, good luck, Oklahoma State. So my question
is, what am I watching?
Exactly. That's Pro Football Focus. Okay. I always take it with a grain of salt. So what I will say is this, though, how they defend Bijan. This is going to come down to early downs, right? And I think early downs on both sides of the ball, but definitely early downs for Texas. You got to win on first and second down so that you can avoid third and long. Yet last year, this was the best third down defense in the country last year. And now they're 14th, I believe. They're right there in the top 15. If Texas ends up in third and long like they did against Oklahoma, it's going to be a long day for them. You want to avoid that versus this front because they like to blitz those linebackers, Malcolm Rodriguez and Devin Harper. They'll bring those linebackers in different pressure packages. And they already got some guys up front who can just flat out win. I looked at overall pressures. Oklahoma State's got 130 on the season. Oklahoma 145. I mean, so they get pressure on opposing quarterbacks and affect the quarterback just like Oklahoma does.
They've been playing in the backfield a lot of the games. You watch them. That defensive line's good. I'm not sure if Brock Martin is going to be able to go in this. He's one of the defensive ends. Colin Oliver will go if he can't.
And he's been good.
He's been good.
Colin Oliver's been really good for him. He's been a revelation for him.
Brendan Evers, Israel Antoine, and then also Tyler Lacey, who's a kid from Texas who we're definitely familiar with. So defensive line's been great. Rod talked about Rodriguez and Harper. They go 225 and 235 respectively. Oh, yeah. They've got – I mean, these guys can get downhill. They actually put three safeties on the depth chart, so –
yeah.
They usually have a cowboy rover, a guy who's a hybrid.
Yes, they have they call him Bandit, then they got another guy. Yeah, they got all these.
That's why
I gave
cowboy
names.
Rover. It's Bandit. Yeah.
It's
different.
It's the same
but
thing.
It's the same thing. It's a hybrid guy.
It's a hybrid guy. And Tanner McAllister is their, quote, slot nickel now. He's the one that will play their slot corner. But, man, those guys are really interchangeable in terms of the way they use them. Cobra Harville Peel, Tanner McAllister. It was Trey Sterling, not him. Now it is, what's his name? He's the.
Jason Taylor.
Yes, thank
Jason
you very
Taylor
much. Jason
the
Taylor is the one they use now because Trey Sterling's been hurt.
Sister's not as hot.
That's why I said I should have remembered because it's Jason Taylor. Like, he's got the name. Is that actually Jason Taylor's sister?
I believe it is.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I put two and two together.
There you go.
She's attractive.
Very attractive.
Why'd you say she wasn't as...
No, I was saying this Jason Taylor.
Oh, this his sister.
Because I haven't seen his sister. I'm kidding around.
I don't know.
So
maybe she is.
She could be.
She could be. Maybe they'll show her together.
She could be. Oklahoma City. I'll lean with Joy.
Yeah, you're right. It's true.
I don't know, but I'll lean with Joy.
Nine in Stillwater.
So the Texas outside zone has been really effective. This defensive line, as we just talked about, their linebackers and their safeties especially, but their whole team. Yes. Man, they run alleys well. They've got so we see with Texas, you take bad angles and maybe they get too wide. Maybe they don't squeeze it, or maybe they squeeze it too much. It just hasn't been on point. And as Rod has talked about, that can be a lot tougher than a lot of us that didn't play Division I college football. And you think, why isn't your run fit not there? Well, that can be muscle memory. You got to work on that. Oklahoma State has that set up.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's one of the things where the sum of his parts is greater than the individual parts.
Yeah.
And there are certain things I think Texas can attack and will attack. And let me just say straight out right now, I do believe Texas is going to win the game. And
I do, too.
I don't think there's no excuse for Texas to lose the game, in my opinion. only because the offense for Oklahoma State is so porous, it's so bad, that I think Texas ultimately should be able to score at least 30-plus points. And I don't think Oklahoma State – I think they're going to be really stretching themselves. Yeah, like I said, they're going to be really, really struggling to try to get to 30. They've been to 30 once this year, 31 points I believe they scored against Kansas State.
Kansas State. They won 31-20. Yeah. They've not given up more than 23, though.
No, that's the thing. But they haven't faced an offense like Texas.
Nope.
So, but you're right. The thing is going to be the Texas with that outside zone and this reshuffling of the offensive line.
Yeah.
How well does it work? Now, Bijan can make almost any offensive line at least look competent because he's just that good. But how effective can that new offensive line be with Tope Amadi now added in the interior, moving Kurt Starter back out to right tackle?
Yeah. It's a good question. How does Tope Amadi, how does he work at right guard? We know that Texas runs a lot of zone. They should run a lot of zone because outside zone has easily been their best running
play.
And Amade's at 361. You've got Angelau moving to left guard. I'm not worried about Angelau. Angelau's actually graded out pretty well.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, but certainly with run plays he has, which kind of goes back to last year with PFF.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. The things that can lose Texas this game are the things that have haunted Texas the entire season. Your line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Because we know what Oklahoma State wants to do offensively. They want to run the ball. They want to slow it down. And they want to run 71% of the time on first and second down.
Yeah.
And try to come up with a third and manageable for themselves. Maybe I will say this: in big games, teams break tendency.
They do.
So this is a big game.
Please do with Spencer.
And I don't think they're going to take that chance because this formula to win by special teams and field position
right.
and defense and controlling the ball by running the ball that's fragile.
Yeah,
with Spencer Sanders
and breaking tendency with Casey Thompson. Is much easier on first down against Oklahoma because you believe in more in Casey Thompson.
Exactly.
Breaking tendency to roll with Spencer Sanders is just dumb. You don't break tendency just to break tendency.
No, you do it because you know it's going to be effective.
Because you know it's going
to
be effective.
You got the numbers to say, and I don't think they have that with Spencer Sanders. So I think Texas, you know, should have an advantage just even game planning for Spencer Sanders. Now, here's the thing. The quarterback run game is also something that should concern us.
No doubt.
Because Texas has been burned now. With Caleb Williams recently, go back to KJ Jefferson in Arkansas, and even Max Duggan was able to get some things going on the ground with the quarterback design runs. So if I'm Mike Gundy, I throw Spencer Sanders out there with a ton of quarterback run game against Texas.
I don't think there's any question. Yeah. And one of the things that I saw, and Ian actually did a great job of highlighting this,
is that
they're outside zone. They'll double the end, leave the edge for the tight end coming from the opposite side of the formation. Those are kind
Funky.
Of some of the little wrinkles that they'll do where it's like, well, we all know outside zone. We've seen that a million times. Gundy's been really good at that. Remember when they came into Austin, was that 3 or 4 years ago, and he had the two-back set you talked about a lot.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was in Stillwater.
It was a nice – was that Stillwater?
Yep,
a nice
yep.
little wrinkle.
It
and he kind of threw it on there.
Corn dog.
Corn
Taylor
dog.
Cornelius.
Yes.
And it was Yursich.
It was
Yursich. Was the OC.
Right. Now,
at that time.
Now at Penn State.
Yep. And broke out the two-back set on Texas and ran it right down their throat with Chuba Hubbard. What's the guy that went to the Ravens?
LD. No.
It's another one to the Ravens.
No,
he was really good, too. But, yeah, they had a bunch. You know, they had a bunch of them there. That King. It's King, Chuba Hubbard, and, he escapes me right now. But they had another back, too. And they just – went two tailbacks and ran it down Texas with corn dog.
Corn dog.
With Texas, I'll say, you know what, I'm going to get into this in Raj Round today because
okay.
I know we're coming up next. But I want to get into how Texas can attack, what I would try to do to attack this defense. Because it is a very sound defense. It is a fundamentally sound defense, technically sound. It looks really good. As a defender myself, I like watching the defense. It's fun to watch. And they got really good guys, really good players, I should say. But there are – every defense has weaknesses. There are places and ways for Texas to exploit this defense. We'll get into that on the other side. And also, I have a request for Sark. All right?
Beautiful.
I got a request for Sark.
Your other ones have been on point.
And I know, and I don't know who's listening. I don't even know. Maybe they're not listening. Maybe great minds think alike. Maybe Sark and I are just two great football minds and we think
listening.
Alike.
Someone's listening.
Or somebody out there is listening. And I got proof that maybe somebody's listening. But if Sark,
maybe it's L'Oreal.
Maybe it's L'Oreal, the fashionista. But if Sark can, if he can actually, do this. There's one thing that I'm asking, right? If he can actually complete this request, I will probably become – the biggest Sark fan in Austin. And I'll explain that on the other side. All of that and more in Raj Rant of the Day right here on RBKD, right here on 104.1019 AM 1260.
Mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. We'll get into how Sark should attack this Oklahoma State defense here in just a second. But before we do that, I want to go over, you know, something that could potentially kind of confirm a trend that I've been noticing. And hopefully it's a great trend that somebody behind the burnt orange curtain over there on the 40 acres, that they're listening to RBKD.
Yeah, I think they are. Justice Hill, by the way.
Justice Hill! How did I forget that?
Shout out to Ike, my buddy.
Thanks, Ike.
Who's actually getting ready to go to the Houston game.
Thanks, Ike.
Tomorrow.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, he's got season tickets. He's all about the Strohs.
You're damn right. Go Strohs. Thanks, Ike, for that. Yeah, I don't know why. How did I forget Justice? It's such a great name, too.
It is, because they've had a lot of them.
They've had a lot of them. You're right. They've had a lot of them. But anyway, yeah, getting back to – actually, this point kind of relates to Justice Hill, so I'll get back to it. We'll come full circle here. But recently – maybe I'm just crazy, and not maybe. I am kind of crazy. But
but not on this.
But maybe I'm crazy about this too. But you guys know I give you guys my breakdown all the time. I give you my stats. I give you kind of what I would do if I was a coach in this situation, how I would attack things, all that kind of stuff, right? And, you know, and sometimes – It comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it materializes.
More than
like,
sometimes.
Oh, that is fantastic. That's great.
Well, a lot of times when it doesn't happen is when it's glaring, and that's when people will come in on Monday and be like, why didn't they do that?
I it makes me upset, too. Trust me. I've thrown some things when Texas doesn't do.
Really, Tom Herman.
Doesn't take my suggestions. Yeah, actually, Sark, I would say.
Sark's been on point.
And actually, it's kind of a point I want to get to, because Sark and I think it's maybe because we see the football world in a similar way, and – you know, when Sark first came on the job, one of my – and you remember this because everybody's probably tired of hearing it. You probably can have a drinking game out of it, and you would get alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, watch out. Your liver wouldn't like it.
Me bringing up two back sets, right?
Yeah.
For 2 years with Tom Herman, I talked about how it would be great. And when Sark first came in, I said, Sark, you got to do this, man. You got a deep backfield. And he kept hinting at it all offseason that he was going to do it, and he loved Rojo and DeBijan, and he's bringing in Keelan Robinson. I was like, man, you got to do this. First series of his tenure here at Texas – comes out of two back set and 20 personnel. They actually end up punting, but I was giddy.
You didn't care.
I didn't give a damn. I was giddy. All right? I was titillated at the time. I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. So I was like, okay, that's pretty good. That's a nice little – so to me, to start off Sark's tenure there, that was a nice game plan. It was a nice way to start. It shows that at least he's looking at his personnel and saying, all right, what's the best way for me to maximize this talent? And randomly I threw out there, speaking of backfields, right? Everybody's a big Jordan Whittington fan. Shout out. Sorry, Jordan Whittington's going to be out, and that's big too because he is the third down guy. He's your – on that money down, he is the best and most effective receiver for Texas.
That could be really big.
It could be really big. And if you watch – I rewatched the Oklahoma game again. I know. I'm a masochist. I rewatched it last night. I noticed something about Jordan Whittington, and go back and watch it if you do have, you know, the gall to do it. Go back and watch that game again, and you'll see –
you don't want to get depressed.
Yeah, don't get depressed. But you'll see in some of those compressed and condensed sets, Jordan Whittington is almost in an offset flex.
Yeah.
Almost, if you want to classify him in the backfield, you probably could. He's offset flex. And actually, they ran a couple of plays with him in motion, you know, kind of at the snap with him going into the backfield and catching passes or, you know, catching a toss or whatever you want
and
to call it.
And ran the, as I called it, I mean, you know, I was just getting old school on it, wingback reverse. For
the wingback reverse. Yeah, exactly, right? And I remember right before I think it's the Rice game, I said, man, Sark should put Jordan Whittington in the backfield and just let him run a route out of the backfield. I swear, it was crazy. That game, Jordan Whittington ran a route out of the backfield. I was like, man. That is awesome. Good for you, Sark. That's pretty damn good that Sark is actually thinking of the best ways to try to just get his guys the football, the maximized personnel. Game plan versus Oklahoma. Going into the game, I told you to break tendency. Hey, Sark, he's been running the football on first down 75% of the time. He's got to flip that in the Oklahoma game. They're allowing 9 yards per pass attempt on first down, but allowing less than 3 yards per rush attempt on first down. Flip the script, throw it on him early and often on first down, play action pass. He did. Yeah. First 15 plays, his script, 28 points. He threw it 70% of the time on first down, and that's with Bijan Robinson. Bijan, I think, had three carries out of those first scripted plays. Sark did it. And honestly, the game plan was sound. They just couldn't hold up, and they couldn't protect the lead long enough. But
thank you very much.
I love the fact that Sark and I saw that game plan. We saw that Oklahoma game starting out the same way, that even with Bijan, I got to break Tennessee because they're going to be trying to stop him, and I got to use that against him.
Hey, man, it almost did the trick.
It was close.
It almost did the trick.
Close to being the key to them winning that game. So I always was taught that, you know, one coincidence is just that. It's a coincidence, right? If something happens twice, then that's a little bit of a pattern, all right? It's kind of the start of a pattern. And you get something happening three times, then maybe you start seeing a trend here. So here's this is kind of my one-time suggestion, all right? My request, if Sark and the 40 Acres are indeed listening.
What do you got?
If they are indeed listening.
Don't wear those pants to match up with Royale.
That is true. Do not wear those. Don't.
I love Sark. Sark, don't ever wear those pants again if you are listening.
Don't wear the pants again. Yeah, I agree with that. Don't wear the pants again. And you know what? I'll say this, though. The pants almost worked if they had kept protected the lead.
Oh, if they protect that lead.
I
tell them,
those pants are awesome.
You slept in those.
Exactly. Those pants are awesome if he protects the lead. He doesn't protect the lead, so the pants
are the pants that Sark was wearing before the game as they're heading in.
They had a little stripe on the side of the white pants, and it was burnt orange, brown, and
I like the blazer. Brown, it's just
It was one step above something McConaughey would have done. And yeah, and he ain't McConaughey.
No, he's not.
So this is my request. To try to confirm if those folks behind the burn orange curtain are either listening, or if somebody over there is listening, keeping the communication lines open, or maybe me and Sark are so like-minded that every damn week we're coming up with the same game plans. That could be.
Could be.
Case. I'm watching as much film as the coaches.
A compliment to you. He's one of the best offensive minds out there.
Exactly. It's exactly right. I wouldn't mind that at all. Sometimes football coaches, and you know this too, they'll take an opposing coach's favorite concepts and use those concepts against them as kind of a tip of the hat.
Oh.
It's an homage. It's actually –
Peyton, McVay, and Shanahan do that to each other
all the time.
And they do. And they kind of wink and
yes.
go. And they go the other one doesn't get pissed.
It's a head nod.
Come on, man.
It's a head nod to go like, yeah, man, just so you know, like, hey, I've been watching a lot of film with you guys, and just so you know, I know how you're trying to exploit us. I can exploit you the same way.
And all three of those coaches and other ones have a whole room that do nothing – but watch other games.
They got
not to scout,
R&D.
To steal.
Well, yeah, exactly. R&D. Sean Payton actually runs his own R&D department. Some coaches, they don't. They have other people doing it for him. And Sark has admitted that he steals plays, too. He steals plays, steals concepts. And he should be stealing plays and concepts. And, you know, you start looking at it. I went back and, you know, looked at Mike Gundy. You know, been back and watching film over time. And one of his favorite concepts that he has popularized, I'm not going to say he created it because he popularized it, was the diamond formation.
Yep.
And he started using it before everybody else. Dana Holgorsen was there, actually, when he started using it. And they used the diamond formation a ton. Actually, I think they used it in 2018, actually, as recent as 2018. They haven't recently.
And for y'all, that literally is
It's three running backs in the backfield.
Two offset.
Yeah, one. Basically, they're in the diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're split back. Imagine split back with a quarterback in between, split back, all right, a running back on either side of them, and then a running back directly behind the quarterback forming a diamond, all right? You got a running back at every point of the diamond, and the quarterback is in between. So imagine basically that. And then when, you know, obviously Mike Gundy made it very popular, and like I said, they use it a ton. They use it usually what they call the cowboy back, which is kind of a de facto fullback or H-back. But Sark can use it.
Braden Cassidy, who's from Austin.
Oh, I didn't know
home,
that.
Yeah.
Nice little factoid there. But Sark can actually use this, and you don't have to stay in the diamond formation or run out of it. You can always motion out of it, all right, into something else. But he can use this with Bijan, Rojo, and Keelan Robinson, right? And you can use it out of, I guess it would be 30 personnel technically with two wide receivers, three backs and two wide receivers. Or you can actually go with – you could do it as a goal line package and have the Wildcat with Rojo and Bijan and Keelan on either side of them as a split back, and that's your Wildcat.
I like that.
With a tight end.
You so know essentially I want more seven.
So it's 31 personnel there.
Yeah.
Because you could do it in a goal line situation with your, you know, with your running backs and also with a tight end if you want it to be a power package. My point is, it would be really cool as a tip of the hat, an homage to Mike Gundy, and kind of a little, not a middle finger to Mike Gundy, too.
Well, kind of a statement that...
Well, it's an ultimate show of respect, too.
I'm in the league.
I'm in the league.
And the old Texas plans you saw, I'm here.
Yeah. We got an offensive mind that's going to match which with
yes.
you.
Yes.
Now I'm here for the chess match,
yes.
so you know. I'm here for the chess match.
It's not going to be the freebie you got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that schematic advantage you had over Texas for so long, that's done now. Now we're in a new day. That, to me, is kind of what it was signifying.
Partially because we're using your stuff.
And no, because, we could do that, right? But to your point, I mean, you brought up the how Shanahan and Sean Payton and Sean McVay often do this because they frequent the same circles. Andy Reid, right? They got a cool play. You'll steal it, use it against them, and then y'all look across from each other on the sideline and give each other a little nod. Yeah, you son of a.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It happened in the 49ers' 48-46 win over the Saints in 2019. Remember the Saints, I believe in maybe it was like week 5 against the Bears that year, they ran a fullback option play. Do you remember this where they basically had a fullback? They handed off to the fullback and the fullback ends up running the option.
Dude, I run that all the time.
Right? With a tailback.
On the video game.
Yeah. And I would say Sean Payton did it before Shanahan did. He did it like in week 5 of 2019. But the 49ers ended up playing the Saints later that year. And to pick up a crucial first down, I believe it was on fourth down.
God, it was awesome.
Shanahan broke out Juszczyk, basically the fullback option.
Yeah.
Against Sean Payton, who had used it earlier that year.
And there is no pitch man. I mean, there's a pitch man, but defensively, you're not thinking about pitch awareness.
No, now when I hand off to the fullback.
That's the ball. I'm going to get him.
Hand off to the fullback in a short yardage situation.
Right, short yardage.
And then you have him pitching it. It was a beautiful play.
It was beautiful. Fantastic.
So if Sark breaks out the diamond formation for any reason, versus Oklahoma State.
All right, they're listening at that point.
Then we have confirmation.
No doubt.
That they're listening to RBK. There's an agent at least.
I love it.
That listens and that is communicating the information to the parties that are relevant.
Now, if this was Tom Herman and they were doing that, he would say he heard that and then all of a sudden scrap it.
And decide not to do it.
Yeah. What do you mean it can help you win the game? I don't care.
I don't give a damn. I'm not going to let that SOB be right about
this. I think that he has any part of this.
So I'm saying there'll be four instances.
I love the idea.
So far this year.
Love the idea.
That, we have on this show, we have yelled and screamed about for a week and then they actually end up coming to fruition and materializing on the field.
Look, utilize your best talent. It's not even close. Your most talented room, your deepest room is the running back position. So, I mean, you can use that with depth where you say, well, we don't need all three of them out there on the field. And Rod certainly isn't saying to have that be a majority of
it. No, I'm not saying that.
But on third and three, I mean, just a little wrinkle. We talked about wrinkles with Gundy.
That's all it is.
It's a little wrinkle. I doubt it's something they would have prepared for. And that's something Sark is really into. Sark will put stuff on film. Mm-hmm. He put something on film. It was Roshan against Rice. And remember I said, I don't know if you needed to do that. And Sark actually came out after and said, no, I wanted them to have to practice for that.
Oh, he did that too against, what was it? Oh, matter of fact, it was against TCU. You remember Rojo goes in, it's a short yardage. Rojo goes in motion and he takes a direct snap.
Yeah.
He ends up going on the center.
Yep.
I saw that. It's crazy. I saw that actually, and this is, I know Sark has an R&D department, a research and development department, where he is rip off and duplicate, really. Because I saw that watching college football clips on Twitter earlier that week.
So Sark
and Sark stole that play from somebody.
We're taking that.
And I don't know who he stole it from, but that I love that he's stealing plays like that and concepts like that, which is why I want him to pay homage with the diamond formation and use it against him as a weapon.
Yeah.
You got the running back to do it.
Did you see the different type of jump pass from Matt Corral and Ole Miss earlier?
No. Oh.
Earlier this year.
Yes, I did. And I wanted Sark to steal that play, and it was illegal.
Want him to steal it. I think it is illegal.
They
got away with it.
No, they called it.
Did they call it?
They called it on. I remember that play.
Okay.
I can go pull it up because I tweeted it out because I thought it was so cool. Yeah, but you can. I mean, all you do is tell the offensive lineman not to be an illegal man downfield.
Yeah, right.
Good. That was the call, I believe, against it. But it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, actually, just don't call it as an RPO. Make it look like it's an RPO.
That's
so
true.
The lineman won't get downfield.
Which he does. He has fake RPOs in his scheme.
He's got a lot of those.
And by the way, he's running more RPOs, if you'll notice, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sorry I didn't get to the game plan, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Braden Cassidy, by the way, probably hung out at this Randall's. I say hung out.
Well, you guys are hanging out eating cookies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Westlake kid.
Westlake. Oh, is he really?
Yeah, Westlake kid.
You guys are everywhere.
No, we are. We are. But he's going to be playing the Cowboy. The Cowboy has been a spot. Essentially, that's his H-back, fullback.
Yeah, the Cowboy back.
It's a lot like Oklahoma kind of has that. We talked about it with Jeremiah Hall last week.
And we said Jeremiah Hall was going to play a big role. And
that was like the
Jeremiah
number one
Hall
guy
played a big role.
And I'm like, watch out for Jeremiah Hall. So maybe keep an eye on Braden Cassidy. This is obviously a big game for the redshirt junior coming back to his hometown. All the eyes will be on Jalen Warren, number 7, and Spencer Sanders, number 3. We'll get back. Still plenty of Texas-Oklahoma State talk before the week is over with, and we'll probably try to get back to that here a little bit, maybe in 6 o'clock hour as we've got Supreme Lending picks, if we can fly through that. All right, you know I'm a Cubs fan. I will say this. My dad is one of the few. I will give him credit his whole life. Grew up in the South Side. He's been a Sox fan and also a Cubs fan.
Okay.
He can get away with that. I'm not sure if you're from the North Side and you're John Cusack, you can. We'll give you the story up next.
I'm back. Get up off of that thing.
Welcome back. It is RBKD here on the horn. We're at Randall's in Westlake, BK's Road, 3300 BK to be exact. You can get on out here. We're going to be out here until about another hour, till 7 o'clock. Signing people up for Texas and Oklahoma State tickets. This is a big one. People have been really friendly. Man, this is a really nice older gentleman who was coming by, and I don't know why I got to throw age in there. Come on, Kevin.
Yeah,
ageist. No, he was a nice man, and he was coming by. You can tell that someone in his life, maybe a wife, had given him a list, and he's going through, and he said, hey, guys, great show. I think you do an awesome job. We're like, oh, thank you very much. And I said, hey, you know, grab something or sign up if you want. He goes, no. He goes, can you help me shop, though? He had been going back like 4 or 5 times. He said, what do you say? I'm as lost as a goose.
Yeah, he's like, you guys can do my shopping. I'd appreciate
that. I was like,
that.
Man, I feel you. I've been in that situation.
I've been
where she's giving you the list. Man. And it's just because I do a lot of shopping, grocery shopping. So I kind of know where my stuff is. But
she's
asking me for different stuff. I'm like, what? I don't know. I didn't know they had this.
Yeah, that's why your grocery store is crucial because you know where everything is.
Yes. Huge.
Yeah, that's why the comfort is like, no, I like this Randall's because I know where everything is. And my man did not know where everything was.
No, he didn't. But he admitted it and was having fun. We appreciate all the
same way. Yeah. I have no idea where
everything is. Kidding me, man. We completely understand that. Hey, let's get into this off the record number 2 here because this has to do with.
Yeah, this is weird.
Kind of your Astros.
Well, yeah, but also your fam.
Yeah.
You guys are Chicago people.
So my whole mom's side's Austin. Reagan 72, shout out. But my dad's side's all really South Side Chicago. So they grew up. I mean, that's where the White Sox are. They're on the South Side. That's where the tougher Chicagoans
are. That's what they said. So this is a blue collar, white collar thing.
No doubt. So Chicago is split. If it's split, it's north and south. So my cousins grew up in Winnetka near the Evanston area, which is, I believe, where John Cusack grew up. And they are thought of by the Southsiders as soft, white-collar Cubs fans. Right. And, you know, the South Side, that's where you're going to run into big, bad Leroy Brown. So,
okay, so the Sox fans are the more hardcore blue-collar fans.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sox would be much more blue-collar.
Ah, actually, interesting. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, then apparently
– if you're going to talk noise and hope to not get your ass beat, do it on the north side after a Cubs game, going to the Cubby Bear. Be careful if you're doing that on the south side.
Oh, so this would be like Sooner and Longhorn fans? Something like that, or Aggie and Longhorn fans?
Aggie and Longhorn fans.
But, no, John Cusack, I guess, is a fan of both, and he got called out by
– he's definitely a Cubs fan.
Some guy – because he was at the White Sox game. He got called out by a member of the White Sox fandom for going to both games and being visibly seen as a fan of both teams. When he goes to Cubs games, he dresses up in Cubs
gear. Oh, yeah.
And when he goes to White Sox games, he dresses up in White Sox gear. And John Cusack's retort essentially was, I mean, he was in the movie about the Black Sox scandal.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was one of the actors in that movie about the Black Sox scandal. And he says, I grew up as a Cubs fan, but when I acted in the movie, I became a White Sox fan.
He's also famous, so really famous, and one of the most famous Chicago people. So he may be friends with some of these White Sox players.
And it's for the city.
It's for the city,
for the
too.
For the city, really.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, is that – you let me know. Is that a violation? Like, would your pops say that's a violation of the man code?
My pops wouldn't, but my pops would tell you that he took a lot of crap. So he grew up on the South Side and clearly was a White Sox fan, but WGN started playing the Cubs games when he was a kid.
I remember that.
And so my dad loved baseball and loved sports so much – shocking, right?
Yeah.
That he would watch – you know, Ernie and watch all the Cubs, and he started liking the Cubs, too. So he is one of the – probably the only Southsider I've ever met, and his friends still give him crap. In fact, he was hanging out with, some of his old high school and college friends. This is probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, and he and his buddies here in Austin would go on these baseball trips, and he was recounting. He goes, oh, yeah, a couple months ago we were at Wrigley, and this guy who's driving, who is a judge – right?
Yeah.
Stopped and looked and said, what the hell are you doing over there? Like, the Southsiders, they
what the hell are you doing over there?
It gave a serious look. What the hell are you doing over
there?
It's like, well, we're on a baseball trip here, and I also like the Cubs. So he would tell you that he's the only one I've ever met from the South Side that truly likes both and doesn't get this divisive beef.
Cities have that because Houston has a North Side, South Side beef. It's not in the sports realm.
Mets, Yankees.
It's so weird. I guess Mets, Yankees has one. It's so weird.
Hell, Dodgers, Giants was a New York thing back in the day, which is kind of how it's not just the Cali thing, right?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Different boroughs.
Man, that's wild.
You don't have a problem with that, though. And you were showing me the video. This guy was getting, like, real aggressive.
Some dude went up to John Cusack at the game.
Which is very Southside Chicago.
I guess, yeah, and it basically called him out. Some White Sox fans called him out in his face, which I guess you got to respect. But, man, John Cusack enjoyed it.
But they're having this long conversation about it. I'm like, dude, just move on.
Oh, no, John Cusack wanted to stand up for himself.
He was pissed off.
Oh, he was upset about it, too, yeah. So, yeah, a little Southside in him, I guess, that day.
All right. I guess with college, I get that. Like, I don't get if you root for Texas and Texas A&M.
No, but I root for the Cowboys when I'm not rooting for the Texans.
Yeah.
It's weird, but I just root for the state in that regard. So
you're very much a state guy.
I'm a state
guy, though.
I'm a state guy. You know that. You hate that.
I mean, I was rooting against TCU in a bowl game at 9 years old. My mom comes in and said, well, they're playing Wyoming. I know they're playing Wyoming.
Exactly.
I don't care about Wyoming. I don't want TCU to get any recruiting edge on us.
Yeah.
See, this is what I was thinking about at that age.
Yeah, you're a sick mofo at that
sick.
Age.
Sick. Right? Yeah.
Sick and brilliant, but sick.
Yeah, definitely sick. I'll go with that. So, John, keep on rooting for whoever you want to.
You're damn right.
I got no problem.
Yeah, Chad has two Cubs teams. Fan. He gives a damn.
Chad has like 9 teams. Chad's one of those guys who I really think that he wants Texas to win. Some of that's for his job.
No, he does. I think he roots for Texas.
He does.
He admits that.
I think secretly he wanted to go to Texas. Bro, no, I'm kidding.
He wouldn't be the only Aggie there. Ask Manziel.
I'll let Rod say that right there. We're 3 hours in. We got 1 hour to go. It is RBKD here at Randall's, 3300 B Caves Road. We're registering people for Texas, Oklahoma State tickets. Hey, we've only had one bobblehead taken. There is – you'll love this. One of our buddies, the nurse, who's an Astros fan, I said, hey, would one of your kids want this? He goes, nah, we're an Astros household.
Yeah.
So he's already – I was like, all right. So we have Rangers bobbleheads if you want to come on out. But you can definitely sign up and come say hi. And you can get through this Randall's quickly, man. You can get in and
nice
out
candy section
here
too.
I know,
Halloween.
It's killing me. Mm-hmm. They have Reese's Pieces, but with I got to show you. They've got some different things they're throwing in here. Like, they're adding a little twist on Halloween. Hey, we're going to get to our Supreme Lending picks. We got to go, Rod. We got to get this thing rolling. What were
we should have been 4-1
week?
With 3-2. We should have been 4-1.
Okay.
That Chargers, the Browns, the first NFL team in history to lose a game scoring 40-plus points with zero turnovers. Ever.
If I remember correctly, I said take the Chargers.
You
I don't did. Know. If I don't.
No, you did.
I
you
don't
you were
correctly.
Leading Chargers. And I said,
we actually should have been right there. We're going to get it right this time. So we'll get into some picks, college and pros, coming up next as we're getting you ready for the football weekend. God bless football. This is The Horn.